There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Candidly, to my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, I fear that moral courage, country before party, is a rare commodity these days. We can write about it and talk about it in speeches and in the media, but it is harder to put into action when political careers may be on the line. Nowhere is the dilemma more difficult than in an impeachment of the President of the United States.
And as I said this morning, I think it really wouldn't have mattered how Doug Jones would have voted today. I do not think he remains senator of the state of Alabama after this cycle, but that's something we'll get comment on. And we'll get comment from a man who was there at the State of the Union last night, our representative in Washington for AL1 and candidate for that very job of U.S. Senate. We start off Midday Mobile on this Wednesday with Congressman Bradley Byrne. Thanks for your time.
Sean, it's good to be with you again.
Hey, good to have you back. And your reaction to what just rolled there from Senator Jones?
Well, stick a fork in him. He's done. I'm with you. I don't think he would have won anyway, but this just automatically seals it for him. Doug's a lawyer, and he should know, at least on that article, obstruction of Congress, he should know every president, beginning with George Washington, has asserted executive privilege. My God, it was taken to the nth degree by Barack Obama in the Fast and Furious investigation. And the way it's resolved is the legislative branch sends a subpoena to the executive branch. They assert executive privilege. The legislative branch takes it to a court. And the court, after it winds its way up to the appellate courts, we get a final decision. They didn't even try to do that. So how he could vote for that with a straight face, I just don't know. And now, on neither one of these did they allege a crime. They didn't allege robbery, didn't allege treason, didn't allege a high crime or misdemeanor. But they tried to turn abuse of power into a crime. Abuse of power is just a general phrase. It's not anywhere in the Constitution. But it doesn't come into play if it's not a crime. And this clearly was not a crime. They didn't even try to make it a crime. So Doug should have known that, too. So, I heard him using those high words and all that. And, you know, I've always been careful. I don't have anything negative to say about Doug personally, but he just got this wrong, and I'm having a hard time understanding how he could have reached the conclusion that he did. All the more reason to get him out of there.
Yeah, and I think he may be playing his cards for something else down the road, I guess. I'm not sure. We'll see, but he gets out early, doesn't just take is not just going to go in there and vote to convict and remove the president. He had a time to take his 10 minutes to say it ahead of time, right? To be on the record beforehand.
Yep. And, you know, he could have just voted and not stated why. I guess it's good for all of us to hear at least what his thinking was, but it doesn't change the fact that he's voted not just the wrong way, but he's voted against what the vast majority of people in Alabama want. And I heard his high words about, you know, sometimes you put your career on the line. Well, his career is done at the end of this year as a United States Senator. Now, he may be hoping it's going to be a Democratic president. That's beginning to look less and less likely. And he gets some sort of high position from the next Democratic president. Maybe that's what he's hoping for. My guess is that he's going to go home in January because it's not going to be a Democratic president, and he's not going to be senator.
Yeah, and hearing the president, President Trump's State of the Union last night, it was, and people say, well, you know, it's pretty political and pretty leaning towards what's happening in November. That's fairly common in the third State of the Union for a president. I mean, that he's laying out the case for why he should be reelected.
Yeah, Barack Obama did exactly yep. the same thing. So, but I'll tell you what I thought about was he never mentioned the impeachment word one time.
Yeah, I was surprised on that. Were you surprised?
I was very surprised. You know, they mm-hmm. lined up all the House impeachment managers. They were all in a row sitting there with this, you know, sort of grim look on their faces. But he didn't even look at them much, and he just gave his speech. And I thought it was a terrific speech. The emotional moments were high-charged and really well done. He had some great lines in there. The stuff he talked about he's accomplished, you can't argue with it. And the stuff he wants to accomplish, including my school choice bill, which I was really pleased to see him spend so much time on, I thought he just knocked it out of the ballpark. But the icing on the cake, what really showed everybody what this was all about, was Nancy Pelosi tearing up her copy of the speech. I think that told everybody in America exactly what's going on here.
Okay, and that is what has gotten, Congressman, the most discussion today. I'm probably a little too wonky and want to talk about policy and all that stuff, but you're right. I mean, that is what people are looking at. That's what people have reacted to most from last night on social media to this morning's show. And your reaction to that?
Well, I was getting ready to leave. Literally, I was standing up. And we do a lot of these television interviews afterwards, and mm-hmm. I had to get to this place to do the television interviews. And I was just getting ready to turn and go, and I just happened to be looking up there at the podium, and she started tearing up the speech. And I turned to Mike Conway from Texas behind me. I said, Mike, did she just tear up the speech? He said, yeah. I said, I can't believe she did that. I mean, talk about a graceless act in a high public from a high public official in a high public event. I just can't imagine what was in her mind. Now, there's all this talk that the president refused to shake her hand.
Yeah, what about
that? That's not so. He didn't shake Mike Pence's hand. He didn't shake her hand. He just put the copy of his speech up in front of them, and he turned before she took too much time to lay her hand out. He never saw her hand. And I had somebody else that was closer to it. I said, did he see her hand? They said no. So there's no equivalence here. She lost her cool at the end of the speech because he did so darn well and tore it up.
Is that, in your estimation, being around Speaker Pelosi there in the House, was that a tactical move, or truly you believe that she lost her cool?
I think she lost her cool. She looked really weird last night. Now, I know mm-hmm. you probably say she looks weird all the time, and there's some truth to that. But she kept talking to herself, because mm-hmm. I was sitting next to another member and said, who is she talking to? And Mike Pence was sitting next to her, but Mike wasn't reacting to anything she was saying, so I don't think she was talking to Mike. She was like she was talking to herself and rolling stuff around in her mouth, and she kept fiddling with the papers. There was something wrong with her last night, and she lost her cool at the end. There's no question about it.
Just joining us, talking to Congressman Bradley Byrne, candidate for Senate, and about last night's State of the Union. And this president spent quite a bit of time talking about school choice, and what's the proper name for the bill here, your act?
I forgot the actual name for it. We call it the School Choice Act.
Okay, that's what I've been calling it, but I was scared I was doing it wrong. So that's why I called it this morning.
They've made up this name for it. But what it does is it creates a federal tax credit for people who donate money to these scholarship funds that children that need to get out of a failing school, their parents can go to and get the money out of it to send them to a better school. We do that in Alabama. This would create a fund across the nation. It wouldn't take a dime away from any existing public school, but it creates opportunities like the one he described last night for that mother and her little daughter. And, you know, I thought that was great that he announced she got the scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Democrats do? Sat on their hands.
Yeah, I watched a lot of that, trying to see, you know, what bipartisan moments, if any, would arise. And I want to talk about that some, but I want to go back to this act, because in the president's description, President Trump talks about the state of Pennsylvania. This mother is wants to get her daughter out of the failing school, but something they did prevents that. And how do you go into a state and change that? I mean, explain that to us.
Well, this creates a fund that would be created with federal dollars, not state dollars, that a state could access in order to provide those scholarships to children in that state. You wouldn't have to use state money or money that's put into a state fund because the people get the state income tax credit. So it gives Pennsylvania an opportunity. Now, we can't force it on Pennsylvania. They may choose not to do it, and they've got a problem with their governor there. But it creates opportunity, and we hope it creates more than an opportunity. Ted Cruz is the sponsor in the Senate. What Ted and Secretary DeVos and the President and I want to do is create an incentive for states, as Alabama has done, to create these funds all over the country. I think as you see more states open them up, I think even states like Pennsylvania start saying, no, we should have our own and get, you know, take advantage of this money. So we're hopeful. I've got over 100 House members that are co-sponsors of the bill today. We're sending out another letter to try to get some more. We're trying to put as much pressure as we can to bring this bill up. And I know Ted's doing the same thing over in the Senate. So I'm feeling good about it. And the fact the President spent so much time on it last night was just a thrill for me. And I know it was a thrill for Ted and for Secretary DeVos.
Yeah, give us a little inside baseball on that. I mean, when you have the President of the United States taking that, he's not taking that much time and talking about something that he's not going to, you know, get fully behind and really be his new thing. I mean, that's kind of...
Oh, no, this is a thing.
There's a tell, right? There's a tell.
Oh, yeah,
there.
We had a round table in the White House right outside the Oval Office about this right before Christmas. By the way, it's called the Education, Freedom, Scholarship, and Opportunity Act.
See?
School Choice Act.
Okay, yeah. As long as you do, I'm just going to follow what you do. I mean, it's your thing. So
Everybody up here knows what I'm talking about when I say it. Look, what happened was he mentioned it last year in the State of the Union. And Secretary DeVos called me and said, I know you have been working on this in Alabama. I know you feel strongly about it. Will you be the House sponsor? And I said, I'd be honored to. She said, well, the President and I talked about it. We think you're the right House sponsor. And we're going to ask Ted Cruz to do it in the Senate. So we took some time to make sure we put it together right. We had to work with some groups because there were some concerns about it. And we worked through the concerns. And then we introduced it last year. And then the President called up and said, I want to get some people together to talk about it before y'all leave for Christmas. So we went over to the White House, met in this big conference room outside the Oval Office. Ted was there. I was there. Mike Lee was there. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who used to be in the House with us, was there. Some other state officials. And then there were some teachers and parents and children that were there. And we sat around that big table. And the President sat there and called on every person and let every person talk. And he listened to every person. Then he called in, as he called it, the fake news, and the news people came in, acted totally inappropriately, by the way, and he went through the whole thing. He knows this stuff. I mean, this is like somebody, you know, gave him a piece of paper and he walked in the room and read off of it. He's got it. So this is something he feels very strongly about. Obviously, it's something we've got in Alabama. Secretary DeVos has visited the school in Mobile. This is something we're serious about pushing, and we're going to get it done.
I like it. Can you hang on for a second? I got a quick news break, and we can come back.
Sure.
All right, coming right back. More with Congressman Bradley Byrne, candidate for Senate. I'm going to talk about his guest last night. You know, members of Congress get to invite a guest to the State of the Union. Who he invited? I want to get the story of that man and that man's son when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with AL1's Congressman, candidate for Senate for the state of Alabama, Bradley Byrne, who was, of course, there at the State of the Union last night. I guess I shouldn't say, of course, you were. You know, I had this kind of idea that anybody who was a member of the House who wasn't hospitalized or something would be there, but there were some empty seats there last night.
Yeah, some Democrats elected not to come, and there were two Democrats that got up and walked out because they were mad at something the President was saying. I sat through three of Barack Obama's State of the Union addresses. Now, I don't think I agree with much of anything that he said, but I thought, well, I'm a member of Congress. He's come over here to speak to us. I should listen to him. I don't have to agree with him, but I'm going to listen to him. And I acted with respect toward him because he was president. These Democrats, they've lost their minds. There was a guy last night who was removed from the gallery because he was heckling the president. And some of the Democrats, about 30 of them, stood up and applauded the heckler as they took him out. I mean, they've just lost their minds. They've got Trump derangement syndrome big time.
Have they? I mean, I think people have theorized on this for a while. I think the proof will be in the pudding, I guess, in November. But have they flown too close to the sun on this, Congressman?
Oh yeah. Oh, I think so. I think that visual last night of the president giving a good speech and all his emotional moments, and Nancy Pelosi ripping up his speech afterwards, and the way they sat there glumly during the speech, I think that showed America all that America needs to see about a president who already has the highest standing he's ever had in Gallup this week. So I think he's going to get reelected, and I think we're going to keep the Senate. I think Doug Jones just ceded the Alabama seat back to the Republican Party.
Yes.
And I think they put the House in play. I really do believe the House is in play in the fall.
I have heard this rumbling. Really, you do think that? I mean, that's a significant shift.
Yep. And I'll tell you, there are two reasons for it. Number one, it's overplaying their hands, particularly with independent voters around the country in swing states. But number two, they played pretty fast and loose to get some of the seats that they got this last time, particularly in California. And now we've got their number. And so there will be some of these seats that they were able to play fast and loose with that we're going to get back just because we're on top of it better. But I think it's really just going to be the shift in public opinion. So I see enough seats. There are about 30 seats in play on the Democratic side. And there are enough of those seats that we should be able to take them and take the House back.
It's going to be interesting to watch that. I also want to talk about, as a member of Congress, you get to have a guest at the State of the Union.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your guest last night.
Yeah. I brought Johnny Spann with me. Johnny's from Winfield, Alabama, in Northwest Alabama. His son was Mike Spann, who everybody will remember was the first casualty in the War on Terror. He was a CIA agent, and there was a riot that was basically started by this John Walker Lind guy, and he was killed in the riot. His daughter, Mike's daughter, Johnny's granddaughter, is Allison Spann, who a lot of people in the Mobile area remember because she was a TV reporter. And that's where I got to know her. I guess that's where you got to know her.
Yep.
And through knowing her through that, and she was friends with my daughter Laura and all that sort of thing, I got to know her family, and there were times when the family needed stuff that she would call me, and of course I'm going to do it for them. And Johnny's just a great man. You know, he and his family have been through a lot. They're good American patriots. And I thought, you know, a lot of people want to bring highfalutin folks. I thought, I'm going to bring Johnny. He's pretty highfalutin by my standards.
I think it was a great choice, a great choice. And as the president took moments to honor those families that have lost family members in the service of our country, and even to do the heartwarming, you know, the bring the father back thing, which is always the gives people eye sweats out there. But I think it was good because with that family, with the Spann family, they represent so many other Alabama families that have made the ultimate sacrifice.
No question about it. You know, John and I were talking about it. There's been some time since it's happened, but the pain's still there. The pain never goes away. My mother lost her brother, Jack, he was a merchant mariner in World War II, and his ship was sunk by a German U-boat, and everybody on it died. A family that goes through that, they never get over it, and I think the country owes them something. And all I did last night was a relatively little thing, but it meant a lot to Johnny, and I think he thoroughly enjoyed himself. I tried to prepare him what the room was going to be like. I just think it's almost impossible to prepare for somebody for all the theatrics that go into those things. But he thoroughly enjoyed himself, and I'm glad he got to come.
I'm so happy to see that picture when it popped up. That's great, because I have, like you, a lot of respect for that family. I want to ask you, switch gears for a second here, because I know you're busy with your job in the House, but you're also running a campaign right now for Senate.
I am. And we are moving around the state of Alabama pretty heavily, and we'll be back in Mobile tomorrow after the National Prayer Breakfast. We have a forum at Spring Hill College tomorrow night. Fortunately, everybody will be there, but Tommy Tuberville and Jeff Sessions will not be there. But the rest of us will be, and I hope people will come out, because I have enjoyed meeting people at these forums around the state, and this one happens to be in my own backyard.
Yeah, this one is a little less windshield time, and as you approach March 3rd, obviously it's been crunch time for you for a long time, but it's showing. I mean, we've been talking about it for a week now. Polls have showed a great movement for you in this campaign. I mean, that's got to be, if you're going to peak, this is a good time to be peaking.
Yeah, and I wish I could take personal credit for peaking at the right time, but I don't have credit for that. Credit goes to my team that planned all this thing out and said, you know, we don't want to make a move until this point. And so it's all been geared towards that. We have not been running ads down in our part of the state because I didn't feel like I needed to, but we are now. And the reason for that is not because I need to get more support in our part of the state. I need to remind people that I'm running for Senate and not for Congress, because people are a little confused about that.
Sure.
You got some good people running for Congress, and they've got a great primary. I'm sure people will vote right in that race. But I don't want them to get confused. I want them to know that I'm running for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's, I think that can happen because not everybody looks at this stuff every day the way we do.
That's right, and I get reminded about that regularly. And our part of the state's obviously very important to me and to our campaign, and so we're now running ads down there. But we've been running ads in North Alabama, the Birmingham and Huntsville markets, since December 1st. And you're seeing the movement in the polls is all occurring up there.
And we just have a minute left here, but what about the fact you got this event happening at Spring Hill College without Jeff Sessions, without Tommy Tuberville? Do you think there's going to be another opportunity that they would show up? Will y'all have some sort of debate between now and March 3rd?
I don't know. We've got two on Saturday. One's in Birmingham and one's in Huntsville. We're in Huntsville again in the Shoals area the following Saturday, and there are others planned after that. But so far, and I've been to every one. So far, Tommy Tuberville has been to one. Jeff Sessions has been to none. And my belief is, if you want to be the senator for the people of Alabama, you need to show up and answer their questions and ask for their votes. So that's why I'm showing up everywhere, and it's working for me.
Here we go. As always, we appreciate your time. Thank you for your take on it. And from me personally, thank you for picking the Spann family to honor last night.
Great honor to have him with me. Good to be with you, Sean.
Always a pleasure. Congressman Bradley Byrne joining us here. And we're going to shift from federal to state. We come back. It was, I would say, the main event, but for most people, the undercard of state events last night. It was State of the State from Governor Ivey, and then, of course, you had that State of the Union thing. But Governor Ivey spoke yesterday evening. We'll go through a little bit of a little redacted run here through what the governor said last night when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Speaking of that AL1 race, coming up at 1 o'clock, Bill Hightower will join us. We'll talk to him 1 o'clock on Midday Mobile.